Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy.
So you can protect stuff like this.
Or this.
Or even this.
Nope. Case in point.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Alex Caruso wins Hustle Player of the Year Award. We're going to talk about that and what it could mean for him and his hope to make an all-defensive first team. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to talk about Patrick Williams' future with the Chicago Bulls. And is it going to be a little bit more difficult to re-sign Patrick Williams than what some people initially thought? And could Zach Edey be a possibility for the Chicago Bulls? Some outlets are saying that. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Terry Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into it. So Alex Caruso wins Hustle Player of the Year. And this is an award that this is the second time a Chicago Bulls player actually won this. Thaddeus Young won it when he was a Chicago Bull as well. And this is an award they noted as this. Hustle stats include deflections, loose balls, loose balls that were recovered, charges drawn, screen assists, contested shots, and boxed out. So that's what you look at as what it said. He led the league with 3.7 deflections per game. He ranked 5th in loose balls recovered as well and 7th in charges drawn. So Alex Caruso wins the Hustle Player of the Year because of that. And this is coming off a year prior when Alex Caruso in 2022-23 was an all-defensive first team. You know, he's hoping to make that again. And Alex Caruso had a really good season for the Chicago Bulls. You know, over 10 points per game he did, about 4 rebounds, a little under 4 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists, over 1.5 steals per game, and 1 blocks per game. Alex Caruso also, you know, taking the highest volume of three-point shots, hitting it at the highest clip as well in his career. Alex Caruso had, in many ways, what was a career year for him. And, you know, while it's not on the stat sheet, one of these seasons that jump out at you, that's why people didn't talk about it a lot, but make no mistake about it, last season, statistically at least, was the best season of Alex Caruso's career. Also playing in 71 games, which was the most in his NBA career as well. Alex Caruso balled out last year. And, you know, I love the accolades that he got. I don't know if he set out to win Hustle Player of the Year. We want Alex Caruso to be named for all defensive first team. We know he's not a finalist for defensive player of the year. Hopefully he gets that award at some point in time. But, you know, it is what it is. But you got to give hats off to Alex Caruso. But this has brought about kind of another set of questions around Alex Caruso. And I touched on this a little bit on yesterday's episode, so I'm not going to go into a huge deep dive on it in this episode. But you have to start asking yourself is Alex Caruso one of the Bulls' best trade chips? And, you know, me and Pat talked about this a little bit because we did do a season review on Alex Caruso on today's Locked On Bulls. And Pat brought up the fact that he feels you're going to have to attach Alex Caruso to get anybody to take even Zach LaVine. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, right? I do think that Alex Caruso, maybe a Nikola Vucevic, a team, if they do want Caruso, they're willing to give those two first-round picks that are going to be probably in the 20s, right? Maybe at that point you can try to, you know, maybe finagle getting Vooch involved in that as well to make it a bigger trade. But ultimately, I think if the Bulls do move on from Alex Caruso, it's going to be that value of the two first-round picks is going to be the main thing. If you can try to dump any other salary with that, maybe Javon Carter, considering it's a lot lesser salary than Nikola Vucevic. But it's just, like I said, it stirs about all these extra questions on, is Alex Caruso somebody that the Bulls have to hold on to, or should they be looking to extract some of that equity in Alex Caruso around the league and use that to go out and get those first-round picks to recoup some of the picks that you gave up to build this team, things like that, right? So those are the questions around Caruso. But, you know, hats off to him. I want to give him all the acknowledgement for winning this Hustle Player of the Year, because hustle is a word that you do think of, that dog, right, is a word that you think of when you look at Alex Caruso and the way he impacts the game. You got to give him credit for that. And so I always, like I said, even in my evaluation of Alex Caruso, I've always looked at it as he did exactly what he said he wanted to do in the season. When he talked about wanting to see his offensive prowess start matching what he brings defensively. And while, you know, how good he is defensively is always going to be hard to match to get to that offensively, right? Because he is such an important player for the Chicago Bulls on the defensive side of the ball. But, hey, Alex Caruso just did so much, playing, you know, out of position for the Chicago Bulls basically almost his whole tenure here with the Bulls. You got to give Alex Caruso tons of credit for who, what, and the person and player that he is. And so I love Alex Caruso on this team. You guys know if you can keep somebody on the team, Alex Caruso is somebody that I really do want to see stay on this team. Personally, I just think that he's just – it's been so important what he's how he's grown and developed for this team. I think he's been so great. And so hopefully the Bulls can keep find a way to keep Alex Caruso. If they are trying to still stay remain competitive and compete even for a playing spot, it makes sense to keep Alex Caruso on the roster. But, hey, if you do get an offer that you can't turn down, which is what the Bulls has basically set the market at for Alex Caruso, I couldn't be mad if they necessarily do that either. You just, if you're going to trade Alex Caruso for picks, you better get the damn picks right, AK. Can you do that? Can you do that, brother? But hey, it is what it is when it comes to that. But I want to talk a little bit about Patrick Williams up next, right? Patrick Williams is one of the questions, along with DeMar DeRozan, Andre Drummond. He's the free agents on the Bulls board. Torrey Craig could also be that. And I left Patrick Williams out of my conversation yesterday as far as, you know, players in the untradeable tier list. I didn't even list them, right? And I think a big part of that is because of his restricted free agency. And I think, you know, restricted free agency, you know, it's a difficult thing. It can be very complicated, right? So if you get to the point of a team signing an offer sheet to you, then that's it. Or you can try to do a sign and trade still while a player is in restricted free agency, or you can try to, you know, sign them yourself, right? And I think there's a lot of options ahead of Patrick Williams, and the Bulls have a tough question to ask because there's no mistake about it, regardless of the reason, right? There's a lot of different reasons you can look. You can look at role. You can look at the number of players. You can look at the fact that we shifted from being a team that was supposed to develop organically through the draft to a team that was trying to compete. But Patrick Williams has not developed the way that the Bulls had hoped. I don't think anybody's going to knock that. The reasons why we may disagree as Bulls fans and the reasons why, and that's fine. That's not the conversation I'm having here, right? So please sound off down below for that down below. I would love to hear that. But Patrick Williams is a player that it's really hard to gauge, right? While he had months like he did in December, where they were a really good month in December there when initially went down, and even Arturis Karnasova saying things like, you know, he would have loved to see what Patrick Williams would have been for this team over the last 3 months of the season, but he wasn't able to do that. And, you know, the thing with Pat is that we keep seeing the flashes with Pat, and those flashes look really good. When Patrick Williams is on, those flashes look great, and it reminds you of just the potential that Patrick Williams can be in. But maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I'm just somebody who's watched too much basketball. But there are a lot of players that show flashes. And some players over their whole career would be players that just show flashes. Now, I'm not saying that we can say that about Pat quite yet. He's only 22 years old. This is still going to be another season where there are going to be rookies coming into the league that are the same age, if not still a little bit older than Patrick Williams. So he still has room to develop. I know Bulls fans don't like to hear that. Some, they like to say, well, Pat is this. He's a bust. I can't personally call it that yet. He's still too young for me, even though he's played 4 years in the league. But then you look at it. He had the first season where he played 71 games, started all 71. He played all 82 games last season, started 65 of that. And then this season, he played 43 games. His second season, only 17 games, played 9 games, started. That was riddled by injury as well. And I think that plays a part into the negotiations that the Bulls have to have with Patrick Williams, is that you have to ask yourself, how much do you feel like you can bet on Pat just staying healthy? That's something you have to ask yourself. And, you know, people are going to have varying degrees of how they feel about Pat's health, right? He's had some freak injuries. Like, the wrist thing was weird, right? The foot thing, that's crazy as well. But it comes down to, hey, you haven't been on the court, and the best ability is availability. And so when you haven't been able to do that, on top of you haven't been consistent when you're on the court either, and either consistent in mindset, right, always attacking or not, or consistent in production. So it's those type of things with Patrick Williams that makes it a really difficult situation to find that value. Now, his qualifying offer is a little bit over $12 million. Could the Bulls try to get him on a reasonable contract like they did Coby White? Yeah, they could, right? Coby White's contract a little over $12 million. So, you know, could they sign him? Yeah, typically, though, you don't see players sign for less than their qualifying offer. You just don't see that happen a lot. It happens, but you don't typically see that happening a lot. And I guarantee his agency is going to try to push the potential aspect of Patrick Williams to try to get him a little bit more money. Now, there's a couple of different scenarios that this could go. Patrick Williams could play on the qualifying offer, take that, go back into unrestricted free agency the following year, a la what Ben Gordon did to the Chicago Bulls, right? And then bet on himself and then say, hey, I'm an unrestricted free agent now. If the Bulls don't have the role or don't want to offer me the money, I can go wherever I want. So I don't have to worry about this offer sheet and the Bulls matching, things like that. I don't say that I can't say that I get that feeling from Patrick Williams as a person, but you just never know. Once, you know, you're out in the market, once, you know, contracts start getting thrown towards you, numbers and things like that, things can change drastically. Or the Bulls can do what they did with Zach LaVine in his restricted free agency and have him go sign an offer sheet somewhere else. Basically say, hey, we're going to try to negotiate with you. You don't like our offer. You're willing to go out and see what your value is on the open market, and we're probably going to match it, right? Then at that point, you're getting your deal. So that's a route. Or the Bulls can try to come to terms with Patrick Williams on a contract that is fairly team-friendly, longer so he has some security as well, especially with the injuries, that gives security to the player. And it really depends on what that number is. And, you know, how much does the Zach LaVine future, the DeMar DeRozan future, kind of play into what Patrick Williams has going on in the mindset of the Bulls is another question. But this is going to be one where it's going to tell us a lot about where Patrick sees himself, where the Bulls see Patrick, and that's going to tell us like where how difficult it is for them to agree on a number, right? And so I think it's going to be a really interesting aspect of free agency to watch how this comes together and where Patrick Williams ends up. If he ends up back with the Bulls, if he ends up here on a longer-term deal, on a one-year deal, the qualifying offer, or if he ends up with another team signing another offer sheet or whatever, I don't know if the Bulls are going to let him go, right? I don't know if it comes to the offer sheet thing. I don't know if Patrick Williams out there with other teams is going to have the value to where he can sign a contract that's going to be something the Bulls aren't willing to match. Where do things have happened? I can't say that it's outside the realm of possibility entirely, but I do think that is a case scenario for the Chicago Bulls and Patrick Williams. So, you know, watching how this develops is going to be fun. That's always one of the fun things about the offseason for me, is watching how, you know, kind of things develop and what they tell you. And I think the way that the Bulls came to agreements with Coby White and Ayo Dosunmu told us that there was mutual interest for both sides to stay here in Chicago, and that the Bulls saw value in those guys. They just got team-friendly contracts. Those guys understood that they had things left to prove. They were both coming off, you know, not the best statistical seasons. Coby White had a really good, strong one. Ayo had a sophomore slump. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch how this develops, I think. And I can't wait to see what it turns into and where he ends up. If Patrick Williams, I hope that he does stay here, and I hope that Patrick Williams still hits on that potential that he has. But we'll end up seeing, man. Let me know what you guys think down below. What deal would you get comfortable giving Patrick Williams to re-sign him to this team? Or would you let him walk away for nothing? I can't wait to hear. I know a lot of people are going to say let him walk away for nothing. And then there'll be the same people that complain if he goes somewhere else and actually develops. But hey, let me know what you guys' thoughts are down below. Now, a player that I want to talk about, and while I'm not starting my draft coverage yet, right, that's going to be kind of after the playoffs end, maybe around the finals is when I'll start that draft coverage. After the draft lottery, for sure, which I think is at the end of this month. I think it's on like the 23rd or 24th. That's about the time that I'll start doing my draft player profiles, things like that. But Zach Edey has become a name that some outlets have the Bulls being interested in. Even my own brother, C-Dub, over on the Cognac Boys podcast had an episode in saying that not only did he say that the Bulls should draft Zach Edey, he said that the Bulls should draft Zach Edey and he should be the immediate starter, right? And Zach Edey is such a conundrum because you look at Zach Edey's statistics and they tell you the story of a player that was dominant in college basketball. You look at just last season for Zach Edey, 25 points per game on 62% shooting from the field, didn't take threes, he understands his limitations there, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 2.5 blocks per game. And he didn't foul a whole hell of a lot either, only 1.9 fouls per game. He averages 2 over the course of his collegiate career. This is a guy who has gotten better in college basketball every year. You look at his freshman year, 8.7 points per game. Sophomore year, 14.4. Junior year, 22.3. Senior year, 25.2. And this is a player who did, and I have a video over on NBA Central talking about the fact that Zach Edey did more for his draft stock probably than any other player in the NCAA tournament to increase that, because going into that, there are absolutely mocks that questioned if he was even going to be drafted. Now some mocks have him going late in the first round, some even outside the lottery, some still have him in the second round. But Zach Edey, to me, offers a conundrum in the sense that statistics versus the impact that you have on the court and the difference in the college game versus the difference in the NBA game. In the college game, you can get away. The court is smaller. The three-point line isn't as far back, so the spacing isn't what it is. So in pick-and-roll defense, Zach Edey is able to use his length a little bit better than what he would be able to in the NBA level, because you have not every player is as quick, and you have less space, so your length is more impactful there. You can cover more area and ground of the court. And so Zach Edey is a player that I look at and I say defensively, not because of the blocks, right? The blocks, but on-ball defense and pick-and-roll defense, Zach Edey, I see struggling at the NBA level. I just do, right? And I think if the Bulls are going to go, because what we're looking for, theoretically, in my mind, is that we're looking for a center that not only can rim protect, that is something that Zach Edey does project to do that, but also you don't want to keep somebody who's just as bad defensively in pick-and-roll defense as Nikola Vucevic, and that's why I worry about Zach Edey at. And also his ability to score, he's not going to just, we've seen it. You can't just overpower people in the NBA anymore. Not with the skill set people have, because people can strip the ball from you. It's going to be difficult. Jahlil Okafor couldn't make it in the NBA. Kofi Coburn couldn't even get drafted to make a team, right? So while Zach Edey and his work ethic does look, you look at it and says, if anybody's going to figure it out as a more old school type big man, Zach Edey could potentially do that, right? But if I'm going to be the Bulls and we draft in at number 11, to me, there is so many other players that offer defensively and some rim protection. Do they have the scoring prowess of what Zach Edey had at the NBA level? No, right? But isn't what we're hoping for more of a modern big man, a mobile big man that can guard multiple positions? So that's where it comes to, right? Zach Edey's foot speed is absolutely terrible. He's not going to be a good pick-and-roll defender by any stretch of the imagination. The question is how much of a liability is he going to be? And so while Bulls fans, and my brother Korn as well here, really talks about Zach Edey, like I said, I think it's a difference between college stats and how you get it, how you defend in college, and what the NBA is going to be. He could speed up his post-ups. That's something that could absolutely happen. Zach Edey also isn't the most aggressive player either. He's a decent free throw shooter. Again, I don't say this to shit on what he is as a player, right? I just think that when what we're seeing the NBA move away from is the type of players like Zach Edey, right? Not players that, like, bigs are coming back. Tall, long, athletic bigs are coming back. But again, Zach Edey isn't athletic. He's tall. He's long. But you got to question that other aspect of the game. And so I think ultimately when it comes down to it, while Zach Edey has some things that you can absolutely look at and try to and say, I could see this translating to the NBA game, it's still going to be a tough test for him defensively. It's going to be really difficult for Zach Edey defensively in the NBA, in my opinion. So, you know, and we'll cover it. We'll go in a little more detail. I'll go over some tape. You guys know how I do. But when I'm looking at, like, center prospects in this draft, of course, Alexander Sarr's above him. Of course, Donovan Klingon above him, I believe. Khalil Ware, I have above him as an NBA big. I think he's going to be a better NBA big than what Zach Edey will be. So those are the type of things that I'm looking at. Kyle Filipowski as well. You know, there's some questions on if he's actually going to go in the draft, but he's another guy that I see being a better, more versatile big at the NBA level because of what he's able to do. So that's kind of my thought process on it. I don't expect everyone to agree with it, and I know some people are going to, and ultimately it comes down to what does AK do? And I think that when you hear the Bulls say that they want to play faster, they want to play more modern, Zach Edey isn't that. Zach Edey is a throwback to a different era of big man. And while there's some specialty that, and people have like compared him, do not compare him to Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is so much more athletic than what Zach Edey is. And we know Rudy Gobert isn't like a world-class athlete. Don't compare him to Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond's way more athletic. He's a damn gazelle compared to Zach Edey, right? Even DeAndre Ayton is a more athletic big than what Zach Edey is. So, you know, it's not just about being big and strong anymore. If this was the early to late 90s, it'd be a different story. Zach Edey would probably be a top 10 pick if that was the case. But I think the questions that you see around Zach Edey enough are to raise concerns about what this Bulls team needs. And so if you have complaints about Nikola Vucevic being slow, if you have complaints about him in pick and roll defense, Zach Edey is going to basically be starting off his career young at the same place where Vooch is now in pick and roll defense. And that to me is a concern as somebody who wants to see this team get a center that can run with Io, run with Kobe, finish on the fast break, right? Block some shots. That's the type of center that I kind of see projected on this Bulls roster. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe AK and Eversley do look at it and say, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up coming to that, man. But, yeah, let me know what you guys think down below on that. I love you guys, man. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been a fun offseason already, and we ain't even got it started yet. Like I said, we ain't even started the draft coverage yet. You guys got to wait. The draft coverage is getting real soon. Right after the lottery, I can't wait. I'm going to be bringing those draft profiles for you. We're going to go in depth on a lot of these guys that I can see. I just want to wait to see exactly where the Bulls are going to be picking before I get too into the weeds of that. And once we do that, that's going to really give me that area of players to look at, and it is going to be fun. I tell y'all that. Some of the best draft coverage for the Chicago Bulls you'll find right here on Chicago Bulls Central. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for our mailbag, which goes down tomorrow, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.